everyone, and welcome to Futures in Languages, a podcast showcasing stories from UCF's Modern Languages and Literatures Department alumni and faculty. I'm your host, Christina Torres, and today we'll be talking with Dr. Alla Korova, who is an associate professor in TESOL and Russian in the Modern Languages Department. We know that you have a lot going on, so thank you so much for taking some time to come and chat with us today.
Thank you very much. Christina, it's so nice to see you, as always.
It's so nice to see you, as always. We're colleagues in the department. We work in the TESOL team, and I know that, you know, you also teach Russian, and I'm very excited to talk about all of these things. But I'm curious if we can just begin with a general question, if you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe where you're from.
I'm from Russia, and I graduated from Moscow State University with a Doctor of Philosophy in Teaching Foreign Languages. I spent the beginning of my career in Russia, and I also been to Britain, studied in Britain, in Oxford, and I was a Fulbright scholar at the University of Montana, and I was a Fulbright scholar twice, but I think the Fulbright, you know, at the University of Montana was the best one and the best experience for me because it was a very long time. Like 9 months. So, and it gave me a lot of new input for my future life and future career.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned doing the Fulbright in Montana and how this specific place was very foundational to you. Is there any specific story that comes to mind when you think about the Fulbright in Montana?
Yes. Number one, when the Fulbright office placed me to the University of Montana, I was very upset because I was thinking, oh no, it's like Russian Siberia. I'm not going there. And then later I read about that and I decided, okay, I will go there. And it was a very good decision because the community is very nice at Montana, in Missoula. It's Missoula, Montana. Mm-hmm. And the university is small, but very nice professional people, very welcoming. And my experience of working with Dr. Ria Ashman, it is important because she showed me completely another side, how in America you see the research, why you're doing that research. And it was my first book published with Ria about Russian education perestroika. That's why it was very important for me. I mean, the first book in America. Mm-hmm. I published before in Russia, but it was the first book in America that we published together.
That sounded like a great collaborative research moment for you.
Yes.
And how exciting to get your first book published over here.
Yes.
Anytime we get anything published, we know it's always it's a celebration of some kind.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's really difficult. The same as in Russia, but here I didn't even plan. It just happened.
It happened. And what a nice way to have that happen. For our listeners who might be curious, what was the focus of the publication?
The focus was in that time, but basically right now, in that time it was 2003. So in that time it was really no one book that features the Russian education, how we build Russian education and how we work with the students. That was the focus of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the different kind of books and research, there is no one exactly explaining the steps of the Russian education and why we need each step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Russian mind and in Russian education.
Mm-hmm. When you say Russian education, you mean Russian language education?
No.
No, in general.
Language.
Okay.
General.
General. Okay, so the different
in general,
steps.
Including different languages, because students start learning foreign language when they're in the second grade.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare with American schools. So, and it was a lot of explanation, the differences between the education in America and the education in Russia.
Mm, that does sound like a really interesting book to read. Maybe I will put that on.
I have it in my office. I will be.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. This is nice. So you mentioned you came to the U.S. On Fulbright. And how did you find the UCF Modern Languages and Literatures Department?
It was a very interesting, but at the same time, sad story, because my friend from Russia with whom we did PhD together, she was later on sent to the University of Montana the University of Florida, is University of Central Florida, as a Fulbright scholar also. And she visited me and she said, I love that university. I love that university. You need to come and see. I definitely visited university, and I visited because she was very sick. She became sick in America, and then she passed away, unfortunately. But she was the one who introduced me and who basically sent me the information that we do have openings. I appreciate really a nice conversation with Dr. Florin and Dr. Pominski, who hired me in the first place.
I am biased, and I'm sure you share this bias, but I say that our team is a very nice team in the department. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's
I love all the people in our department.
Warm welcome. Yeah, Natisa. It's a warm and welcoming team to work on, and, you know, I can't imagine you not being on that team, right? Like, it's all of us together on the team. Yes. So you came to UCF, and my next question is, what classes or research would you like our listeners to know about? Anything that you were teaching, working on, have worked on? What are some highlights that our listeners should know about your experiences here?
Yeah, it's a big journey because I am at UCF for 16 years already. I have been teaching 16 years. Mm-hmm. So, and when I was hired, I taught TESOL classes first. And since it was no Russian program at all, no even Russian language, I wanted to open something, and we had a lot of negotiation with the conversation with the chair in that time. And the first class of Russian language, I think, was open in 2010. And my chair in that time, he was afraid that students probably don't want to take Russian, or we don't have students for Russian. But 2010 was such a great year for some reason, because I had in my one class 45 students.
Oh, wow.
When I came to class, I did not know what to do. 45? No, come on. Oof. It's impossible to teach 45 students. And then later on, of course, I taught them, but it was very difficult. Next year, the position of TESOL in Russian was opened, and I was hired. And since that time, I have been teaching more Russian, and especially last years, because in 2014, we opened a Russian minor with a history department. And in the fall 2021, I opened a Russian as a critical language certificate, which is the only one in the nation so far. So nobody has that. Everyone has master or something else, but not as a certificate. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of, I was trying and still trying and going to try to build more and more Russian program and do a lot for the students, because I can see it's very beneficial, especially right now in that political, in the political situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all the students that have been in my classes that have taken your Russian language classes say that you are fabulous. It has been a consistent theme. And I say, oh, Dr. Kurova, they're like, oh, we love Dr. Kurova. Oh, she's so good. Oh, my eyes are opened. I feel, again, they say all of these really positive things about you. And I know
Thank you, Christy.
Irina Piberejna coming in a couple seasons ago. And again, she was just talking about you from the beginning of the podcast. Folks have been talking about these classes. So what are any research projects that you're working on now that you think our students or listeners should know about?
My biggest project, of course, for several years already, is the STATOC program, and thanks for this grant from National Security Agency, mm-hmm, that they open that possibility for American professors of critical languages, mm-hmm, like Russian, Arabic, Chinese, to receive that grant, because I have more opportunity to work with the students, mm-hmm, since it is also in the summer. But especially the last 2 years, since after COVID, basically, since, mm-hmm, 2022, they opened the same title, Start Talking, but different in the point of doing the special curriculum. They developed the special class or course for students who can take that later, even if I don't have this grant. So this is very interesting for me because I am working on special topic as how words influence people, business Russian for proverbs. So Russian people use a lot of proverbs in their speech. It's basically like normal for them. And my students do not understand the meaning. They do not understand not only the meaning of the words sometimes, but the meaning, cultural meaning, the idea of these proverbs.
For the folks who are listening out of curiosity, could you share an example of one of these proverbs that would be common?
Yes. So there are a lot of proverbs, but one of them, which is the number one, is «встречают по одежке, провожают по уму». It means that we meet people by appearance, but we say goodbye by them, how smart they are.
Oh, okay. All right. I've never heard this before. This is fun. You've taught me something new today. Thank you, Ella.
And for students, it's number one, it's a lot of culture, because Russian language is not only the beautiful language, but also it's opening doors to this rich culture and histories. And philosophies of the people, you know, and to learn that it's interesting for them because they think, oh, why do they say that? Or we do have the strange proverbs, the love without reason is the sign of stupidity. What it means that Russian people do not really smile a lot. They smile a lot when they see the people and they want to see that person, then they can smile. But if they are not really happy to see the person, they will not smile. And I always tell the students that you will never see in Russia people smiling every second. And this is one of the proverbs that for ages already, you know, in our life. So, and this is another research which I was doing and continue doing, is the difference in culture. I have found 24 cultural differences between America and Russia. And this is one of the culture, how we approach happiness. And I think Americans were born with smile. And it's very nice. I like that because it's so welcoming. It doesn't matter where you are in the store or in the street, people say, hi, how are you? But you will never see that in Russia or in Russian culture in other former Soviet republics. Because I've been with my students not only in Russia in the study abroad, but in Azerbaijan. And Azerbaijan is the same. There is no smiling. If they don't know you, no. And I think it's very, very interesting for the students, especially that part. And this is one of the research that Irina participated in. And I published the book, which was Chilling Russia Research Guide to Russian Culture, where I explained each single cultural way. So, because not only Irina participated, right? In that time, when I was working on that book, it was a lot of students, Brooke Sari, Anna Ramirez, they all participated with me. You know, just working, researching, doing survey, asking students. And so it was, I think it was very beneficial for them because they enjoyed that. It was not very, you know, pushy for them. It was interesting for them.
And isn't that the best kind of research, is the topics that just engage you naturally and then you pursue a curiosity and it doesn't feel like work, like time just goes and there you are doing this thing and reading and working on something and you forget what day it is and what time it is. Like that, you know, is the magic of following something that you're very passionate about. And we talk about that with students too, and it's great that you had this opportunity to work with students on such a major project. Out of curiosity, were they doing surveys with students who... Were they doing surveys of Russian students in Russia also? Was it here in the States?
Yes, with Russian students, definitely, of course. Because for 12 years, I have been doing the project Connecting Classrooms with the Russian students, the same number 7 in Novocherkassk, where my colleague, my former classmate, by the way, we were together at university, She is teaching English there, and I'm teaching here Russian. So in my intermediate Russian class, we have that project, Connecting Classrooms, where my students assign one student from Russia to write emails and to work on some projects. Mm-hmm. And every single year, all the intermediate Russian students from the intermediate Russian class, they do have that opportunity to communicate. And a lot of students, when they finish already the program and they finish already the university, still connect with Russians. Mm-hmm. The other day, I had a dinner with my former student who graduated in 2015, Bruxelles, and she showed me the picture of the Russian student with whom she communicates. She already married the student. I mean, you know, but it was like in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you believe so? Almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they still communicate, and she said that I worry about her, about the political situation and stuff. The same with Irina. I'm sure she mentioned that. And a lot of students still communicate with Russian students. Because the approach in Russia, if you're my friend, you're my friend forever. It doesn't matter.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's lovely. I remember my students, my international students from Russia that I was teaching in the EAP programs would tell me, we save our smiles for our friends. We do smile. We save them for our friends. They say similar things to what you're saying here. And that's a lovely way to really illustrate the point of what we do when we talk about language and we talk about culture. It's about connections, and it's about forging connections, and that's person to person and community to community. And it's a side of politics, a side of anything else that's going on. It's just the human connection one-on-one in that kind of environment. And that's the beauty, right, of teaching language and culture, is we can forge those connections for students. I think with my classes, I always tell them the world is remarkably smaller than we think it is. And you never know, like, how things will be. And things happen where you run into someone you met on the other side of the world in a conference here in the United States. And you're like, oh, my gosh, hey, it's been years. You know, it's small. And so whenever we get a chance to build connections, I say take it.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Because I always think that language learning, at least for me, has been a bridge to connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is fostering understanding, empathy in all the students.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It's across diverse communities.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's very transformative and always connect the human hearts and minds, I would say.
That's the goal of what we do. So listeners, that's why we do what we do, is to make those connections.
Yes.
You mentioned some of this already, but I'm curious if there are any specific stories of memorable student experiences that you think our listeners should know. Anything that stands out to you? I know you've done so much with our students.
I don't know. I think I was so blessed with the students who worked with me that every, like all the students who worked with me in research, I can't even say that somebody is better or more interesting than the other. I think all of them are so great, so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to find the only one, let's put it this way. Of course, I mentioned about Irina, about Brooke, about Michelle also. And you know Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She's completely a unique student because she studied and lived in Russia and only came to America after, you know, high school in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and her way to PhD, she's doing her PhD right now in Ohio. So it was very hard. She worked very hard. But again, she was my research student. When she came to my office and asked me to do research with her and to start RAMP, research and mentoring program, I said, I cannot do that because I'm busy. I'm sorry, because she came in the middle of the year. She transferred from Valencia, and I had already two students in the RAM program. And she said, oh, please take me. It will be interesting to work with you because I feel that you are very good with the students. And I said, I'm so sorry, I know. And then she came again, like after the month. So like, maybe you decided to take me. So I decided, okay, I said, okay, let's work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and definitely it was a great experience. She's still working with me in the grant. She's flying from Ohio here, and we've been to the conference together in Las Vegas in February, where we presented our research in this new brand that we are doing together, because she is very good in technology. So, and our two brains work together very well, because I am writing what I want, and she is putting that in the canvas technology and so on. So it's a very good collaboration. So I have been working with her since 2017, and I was proud that she first received the full scholarship for doing master program at UCF, and then again full scholarship in Ohio. So I think it's amazing.
That is amazing. And something that we like to, again, remind our students is that you might graduate, but if you foster connections with your faculty and you work on projects with mutual interest, your graduation doesn't have to be the last time you see your department. You can always continue a relationship that will benefit you and the department at the same time. And it sounds like you've really had that in this story of this student.
Yes, and it's not only Michelle. I just gave an example because she is still working with me. Irina is still working with me. Then Julia, who was my student, still working with me in the brand. So she also was in my research class. So I can give you more names, but the main point here, these students are not in, their major are not only in Russian. Do you understand? So, and actually we don't have major in Russian. We have minor only. So I have students who were like group electric engineering, not connecting with languages, right? But she had Russian minor. Then I have student who is right now the president of Russian American Student Association. He's in computer science. And he's in Russian. He was in the study abroad program, Michael Miller. So he's doing such a great job. He speaks Russian so great. I mean, he's an example. You know, so we do have, I do have different students who work for the government right now. I unfortunately can't give their names, but
understood.
But yes, and there are a lot of students who got Fulbright and Warren scholarship. My student from the last year came this winter break to visit, and she describes Warren program, how she's doing in Latvia. So again, her major is not Russian, but she took Russian, and she is going to continue with the Russian as a critical language certificate. So I have so many examples to tell the truth. So basically, everyone who works with me in the research group, everyone continuing their studies, their journey to the high level of education, or they have a very good job.
And that's a really great example, too, for students who might be considering whether or not to add a certificate in a language like Russian, who are in any of these majors. It's not limited to any specific major.
Not at all.
You can always add a language.
Yeah, because people think, oh, if you're a language, where will I grow? Why do I need it? But I think linguistics and languages are so important. There are so many nuances that you can learn, you know, in the culture, in the language, that it will benefit you for the future.
That is a pretty consistent theme with the alumni coming through in the podcast, is that no matter where you work, the addition of a language just opens more opportunities. And folks listening, you can hear Dr. Kurova's stories about her amazing students who are working in all kinds of different areas, whether that is government research or whatever else. And the language has been helpful, no matter what their major was to begin with. So thank you.
No matter, completely.
Thank you for sharing.
All the students are welcome.
From
any college and any department. Because I think we need more advertising with explanation to the student how foreign language is important. Because it is not enough stress in the United States on that. I think.
I will agree with you on that. And that's part of what we're doing in this podcast, is creating awareness of our programs and what folks might do. Because that question of, oh, well, what are you going to do with that major or that minor? That question is something our students face often from friends and family. And we want them to have ready answers inspired by the episodes in the podcast. So it's great that you've provided that inspiration for them here. We have a segment here a la called Ask Our Faculty. Here goes Miley's question.
For your research projects, how do you select students? And what benefits does student involvement bring to a research project?
I think we've touched on this a little bit, but feel free to go ahead.
Very interesting question. Definitely thank you for this question. But my answer is immediately self-selected. I don't select the students. They found me themselves and they asked me if they can participate in any research because since I'm doing the startup grant for 10 years already, so the students can read about that and they understand, and definitely I talk about that in class, and they want to do the research themselves. They ask me about different topics and I'm very happy to work with them. Not so like last semester, in the fall semester, one of my students who was in political science, but he was in my Russian as a critical language certificate in my Russian classes for beginning, intermediate, and advanced classes. So he had a project on basically political project. I can't right now remember his thesis, but basically it's about Russian propaganda. And of course, his chair was from the political science, but I was in the committee, and we worked a lot with him because he asked me what kind of program to watch in Russian, or what is better to watch, you know, why, and so on. And he was with me in Azerbaijan, so we compared with them Azerbaijan propaganda, Russian propaganda. So it was very interesting, like, to see him when he presented that thesis in the final stage. And I was very proud of the student. And basically, he has a publication at UCF Journal, undergraduate UCF Journal. So again, I was not the chair of his thesis, but I worked with him through that also, the same as political science professor. I worked from my side, and, you know, he asked me different kind of questions because he can ask me any question during the study abroad program. And that was very interesting to see him presenting and how he grew, you know, for all these years. Because I remember that in the beginning class, he asked me to write him a recommendation. And I said, I'm so sorry, I don't know you well enough. And I refused because I normally write the recommendation only to the students with whom I work and I know very well. And of course, after the beginning class, he so much improved, like blossomed, you know. And definitely when he was in advanced class, I wrote him a very good recommendation. And he applied for the Fulbright, research Fulbright. So he's working very hard on his future career. So, and I am very proud of him. So basically, I never select. So if they want, they ask them me about the project and research question. It's actually interesting. But I want them also to see another side of class, you know, that it's not a language course. It's not like a game. Yes. For example, from this student who did that political project, it seems like it's easy, but it's not. Do you understand? You have to analyze everything. You have to choose what to analyze. And this is very important that we do have that undergraduate research class and undergraduate research office who is helping us with working with the students.
When talking about research with students, I'm sure you've said similar things with them, but we always tell them that even on a surface level, if something feels quote unquote simple, the deep dive into truly understanding what it is that you see takes time, takes effort, takes to go through the process of it, takes a lot of unpacking. And that effort is worthwhile because by the time you finish, you have statements that you can make that are informed by data, informed by truly a grounded understanding, because when we first might approach a topic, we don't know what we don't know, you know? So once we start to find out what we need to know, that's when we realize, oh, wait, there's so much more to unpack in here.
And you know, Christina, when I work with the students, I all the time learn something myself, mm-hmm. which I like so much.
Me too.
Because it's, you know, it's for both of us mm-hmm. very beneficial, not only for the students.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's why I love the part working with the student. I love the part teaching the students. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite part.
Yes. They're energizing is something that it's a fresh energy. It is eagerness to be a part of something greater, and we learn from each other. And I agree. I've learned so much from my students, both my U.S. students and my international students over all the years that I've been working in higher ed. And yeah, I agree with you there. We have here, Ala, one more question here on This is it. This is the last question. And that is, what advice would you offer someone who is interested in studying Russian or TESOL?
Advice? I think do not be afraid to explore what you want to do, because some students choose their major or minor and then they're not sure. Mm. So go ahead, read, learn, meet the people, and try to find the best way for themselves, for yourself, for understanding how you can impact the world around you.
Great.
And help other people. So
thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Do not be afraid, definitely.
You heard it from Dr. Ala Karova, everyone. Don't be afraid. Is there any final thought that you'd like to conclude your episode with today? It's always such a nice treat to chat with you.
Oh, thank you very much, Christine. I really wish more students will learn different foreign languages, not only Russian, mm-hmm. not only Spanish, but the more you know, the better your life will be.
I couldn't have finished it better myself. Thank you for listening to this episode of Futures in Languages. I'd like to give a shout out to DaVideo Guy for our intro and outro music downloaded from freesound.org. I'm Christina Torres, and our featured guest today was Dr. Ala Karova. Tune in next time to hear more stories from Modern Languages. For more information about Russian, TESOL, and other language programs in the Modern Languages Department, please visit our website at cah.ucf.edu/languages.